Saint Louis de Montfort tells us that to say the Hail Mary frequently, including before a sermon, is a great safeguard and a way of avoiding dangerous pitfalls. May Mary, who illuminates us, give light to the preacher. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. On his clothing he has written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the antiphon of the Vespers for Christ the King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Christ's clothing, the Church tells us today at the Magnificat of Vespers, when the celebrant incenses the altar, indicates his kingship. Now, what about us, who are at the same time his subjects and the sharers of his royal dignity? What is written on what we wear? And what are we supposed to wear? What are we to think this week in particular, when so much time and so much money is being spent on clothing that is just a costume, worn for a while and then put away again? The other Lent, I was preaching a recollection in Denver, Colorado. And I remember at some point in the afternoon, walking from the rectory back to the church. The parking lot of this church is in between the two and somewhat elevated. And I looked up and I saw several rather statuesque young ladies, all in slacks, all dressed in white, long blonde tresses. And I caught myself looking again a second time. And I thought to myself, that's not good. And then I thought a little bit more about what's wrong with this picture that had so caught my eye. Well, what was going on is that several of the young ladies who were the retreatants, with the day's devotions now being done, had changed out of their church clothes back to normal dress, which is not a dress. And they were chatting and getting ready for their long drive home. What's wrong with this picture? We Catholics, children of the King, do not wear colorful, old-fashioned clothing, a costume, in other words, when we go to church. We dress modestly, and that's all. If a dress is required for our ladies and young ladies when they come to church, it is not to be old-fashioned, but to be modest. Although I grant you that to be modest today, when fashions are all about fitness and hotness, as they say, well, that's to be pretty old-fashioned anymore. But I have an up-to-date bulletin for you this morning. I've been wondering how to say this for a long time, and I think I'll just say it. Most slacks, trousers and jeans, on most women and young ladies, on most occasions, are immodest. And many are most immodest. Immodest, yes. In other words, they draw the eye, these fashions do, the eye of a man, by emphasizing what is distinctive in the female form. That's all. The well-known Masonic document of 1846 called the Alta Vendita, talking about preparing the revolution. Remember, these are the people who said they would one day take over the papacy. acknowledges that in order to overcome the Catholic Church, you would have to begin by suppressing the female sex, because women are so important in God's plan, and in the Church they are everything. But the Masons acknowledge, since that is impossible, let us corrupt her along with the Church. The best weapon to wound the Church is corruption. Father Fahey comments on that. When human beings have been brutalized by impurity, they will allow themselves to be enslaved without making any attempt to react. Slaves of fashion is the phrase. You see them everywhere. But I wonder if this is also the reason why there is so very little reaction to legislation setting up prison camps for Americans in our own land, suspending the writ of habeas corpus and all of the rest. The weakness and the selfishness, Father Fahey says, of impurity. Selfishness. I see that sometimes in women who are otherwise excellent Catholics. In other words, well, if you have a problem with the way I'm dressed, that's your problem. The lack of consideration or charity about how they, what they do affects others. All of that in turn combines to attack the faith. We saw it last week. St. John Chrysostom sums it up. It is impossible for anyone who leads an impure life not to grow weak in the faith. How do we fight this revolting revolution? It seems like they've won. We must firmly ground ourselves in the doctrine of our membership in Christ. I am not my own. At that font of baptism, I put on Christ. And I don't take him off. Not ever. Every sin is a betrayal of the mystical body of Christ. In other words, it hurts not just me, but my neighbor and my head, who is our King and Lord. This autumn, the Amish were very admired by many Americans, and indeed their spirit of forgiveness is an admirable thing. Now, they dress the way they do, you know, not to wear a colorful costume for certain rituals, but as their way of life. Their religion is their life. Perhaps we who sometimes want so desperately to blend in with all of the rest of the crowd could learn something from these folk. Their religion is wrong, but maybe they have something to teach us in ours. Next, on Sunday, in addition to dressing modestly, we wear our Sunday best, because this is the day on which our Lord rose from the dead. It is our holy day each week, and this is God's house. So men wear, going to church, their jacket or a suit coat and a tie, and the ladies have their Sunday best set aside for this day. The Antichrist culture, though, that surrounds us, which has banished not only modesty, but I'm afraid pretty much grace and what they call gravitas, a certain pleasing seriousness in dress, has also promoted this revolutionary idea of egalitarianism. In other words, we're all equal. But the only ones who are, as they say, more equal than the rest are those who are particularly fit and who show it off to everyone else all week long. Some Catholics seem quite willing to me to fight for the right to look awful all of the time. Comfort and coolness in both senses of the word have become our law. But in the kingdom of Christ, Christ reigns, and not coolness. You must at the very least wear your costume, if you will, to Sunday Mass. And if you manage that, that is already quite a bit. It serves as a reminder, doesn't it? This is one of the ideas of the wedding garment, sanctifying grace, which you received at baptism and which you can never take off. You must wear it for admission to the eternal kingdom. But when you leave church today, of course, you'll be putting away your Sunday best for next week. But at that same time, think of it, you are going to be assaulted by a culture which surrounds you on every side and rejects almost everything of our religion and of our King. This is perhaps a teaching moment for our children and our grandchildren, increasingly grandparents. You have a job to do. Do it sweetly, but please do it. It's a teaching moment in this week of costumes and dressing up. There are some things we don't take off, like faith or charity. We do not leave our Catholicism in the closet for the next time for fear someone might notice it and comment. It's like the scapular. We just wear it. Look, if we start the week together at the altar for the sacrifice of the Mass, we show our submission to the Eternal Father with and through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, our head. Well, then, everything else for the rest of the week has to continue this theme. If not, our Sunday is a lie. And what that crowd has been shouting for centuries, 2,000 years plus now, we reject His reign. We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify Him. Those people, the organized forces of naturalism, Freemasonry, and along with Freemasonry, the Jewish nation, Father Fahey tells us, those people will have won. As indeed it seems they have already. After church today, the little saints who come to the 9 o'clock Mass, when all is done and the prizes have been given out, they'll take off their costumes. And after each Mass, the clergy will take off their vestments, all the different layers of sacred vestments they wear each time they approach God's altar. And you, when you get home, you'll take off your jacket, of course, and loosen or remove the tie, and the ladies probably will put away carefully that special dress they're saving just for Sundays and special occasions. But one thing never gets put away all week long. It is the garment that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Dr. Drolesky on his website wrote well recently, there is not one aspect of our life which is untouched by our faith. And there is never a time in which we are called to do anything other than that which the saints have done. That is to say, to profess the Catholic faith openly and unapologetically. At all times, in everything we say and do and think. This is the meaning of that mystical garment he wears in the Apocalypse. This is the meaning of the gospel garment we received at baptism. And this is the kingship of Jesus Christ. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.